Are we good, Phil?
We'll call to order the Board of Education regular meeting for September 13th, 2016 at 5:33 p.m. Dr. Mitchell, roll call.
Sure. David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Here.
All board members are present.
Thank you. Next, we have adoption of the agenda of the regular board meeting of Tuesday, September 13th. May I get a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Tuesday, September 13, 2016? I have a motion by Ms. Friedman.
I second.
A second by Mr. Malkin. Any discussion or items to be pulled? Corrections or corrections?
I have to pull consent item 7C6, approval and the ratification of purchase order.
So that's item 7C6, purchase orders, and I will be pulling item 7D2, human resources consent. Any other items? Then may I have your motion be rescinded?
I withdraw my motion.
I have a withdrawal from Ms. Friedman. A withdrawal of the second as well?
I withdraw.
Thank you. So next, I'd like to I need a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Tuesday, September 13, 2016, with the following corrections and modifications. We will be pulling items 7C6 and 7D2. May I get a motion?
I move.
I have a motion by Ms. Friedman.
I second.
A second by Mr. Malkin. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Are there any public comments on closed session agenda items? Nope. With that, we will recess to closed session at 5:35 p.m. Thank you.
Mouse for this thing. This little trackpad is so sensitive. My hands have it all over the place.
Oh, you're not sensitive.
No, not these.
Good evening. We'll readjourn to the Board of Education regular meeting for September 13th, 2016 at 7:09 p.m. And we will start with our flag salute, which will be led by Vanessa Ramirez, Vice President of the Association of Rural Educators.
Hands over your heart, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, and thank you, Genevieve. Closed session report. At this time, there are no items to report on closed session, as we will be returning to closed session at the end of the meeting. Next, we have board recognitions. The board would like to recognize and thank the Association of Rural Educators, ARE, for providing refreshments tonight. So thank you, ARE. Next, we'll go into our reports, and we have something new. As you guys can see, we last month we talked about the changes to our flag salute, how we will be highlighting different schools and organizations within the district, and we will also be receiving what we're calling a spotlight report from these individuals when they do lead the flag salute. So tonight we're getting our very first spotlight report, which will be provided by ARE, Vanessa Ramirez, Vice President. So you can have the mic.
Good evening, Board. My name is Vanessa Ramirez, and I'm a chemistry teacher at Nogales High School, a parent of an Oswalt student, and the Vice President of the Association of Rural Educators. ARE is a collective bargaining representative for over 700 educators in Roland Unified. Our main function is to bargain and maintain a contract on behalf of all certificated non-management staff at Roland Unified. ARE is an affiliate of the California Teachers Association and its larger National Education Association, actually the largest labor union in the world. Here's a very brief video that touches on the history of CTA. So the Association of Roland Educators is interested in building effective and authentic partnerships with parents and the community. We believe that public education is enhanced when the community and educators partner together to establish strategic partnerships and build power together. ARE and the California Teachers Association have the central goal of advancing free, universal, and quality public education for all kids. We're very excited to working with all of you throughout the rest of the year. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Next, we'll go into our superintendent's report. Dr. Mitchell.
Great. Thank you very much. So this school year, we are off to a fantastic start for the 16-17 school year. There's some items I'd like to share with the board and with the community. So as many of you know, this year we launched our Music for All campaign, where the Roland Unified School District provides music instruction for all of our students in grade 1 through 6, taught by music teachers, which there's a number of them here tonight that are going to share with you, I think, as well. They have some cards to share. And so we are working through that process in terms of adding classes, and we had our parent night where all of our music teachers were present, and we had a tremendous turnout by our parents in terms of the introduction to instrumental music. I know that class size has been a big interest of the board as well as by our staff in terms of looking at class size. We have two teachers, one that will be starting on Monday and another one that is in process of being cleared that will assist us with lowering class sizes. So that is still an issue for us, and it's something that we do know that we still need to continue to address to make sure that the people that are sitting in the back can effectively teach our students and have this program be the success that we would all like it to be. The other item that I would like to share with you is Friday, September 16th. This week is Roland Heights Day at the LA County Fair. So anyone can take advantage of the $5 admission ticket. And there are copies that are here tonight out on the front table as well if you're interested in experiencing the LA County Fair on Friday night. That's a $5 entrance if you have that coupon. We will also be having a special parade at the fair starting at 5 p.m. to come out and to support Roland High School, Nogales High School, our Roland Council PTA, and our community heroes are being recognized. And the community heroes are Nancy Buck, who is our 2016 Roland Unified Teacher of the Year, Ted Ebenkamp, who's the president of the Roland Heights Community Coordinating Council, and David Malkin, who's the Roland Heights Senior of the Year. And so we are really appreciative. And in addition to that day at the fair, we really want to thank our Roland Council PTA, as well as many other donors, including Don Kanabi's office, for providing transportation for our students to visit the fair while it's here during this fair season. So our transportation department has been working diligently to provide a bus for every school to take advantage of the Fair Kids field trip this year. And I believe Hurley Elementary went today. And so the kids are just beyond themselves with excitement to go to the fair. I also want for everyone to mark their calendar for Nogales High School Community Grand Opening. So if you'd mark your calendar for Wednesday, September 28th at 5 p.m., the community is invited to join with staff for the grand opening and open house at Nogales High School. There will be student entertainment, campus tours to show off the wonderful learning environment that is the new Nogales High School. Another big event that's around the corner is our Roland Heights Buckboard Day Parade and Festival. It's being held on Saturday, October the 15th. Parade entry deadline to be included in the program is the 15th of September. So if there are any community members or schools or folks that are interested in being part of the parade, that deadline to be included in the program and participate in the parade is the 15th of September. And this year's theme is superheroes, and we are honoring Supervisor Don Canabi for his superhero spirit and support of Roland Heights. So he is our Grand Marshal. I'd also like to draw attention to some donations that the board is accepting this evening. So part of our consent calendar, the board accepts donations that come from community members. And so we're extremely fortunate to be able to partner with so many amazing parents and businesses that assist us in our work. So tonight, the board will be accepting, when they accept the consent calendar, a donation of $150 from Liliana St. John for the Children's Dental Clinic in memory of Lillian Swerdlow, who was a nurse in our district. We also have a $37,000 donation that's coming from Visions for Learning, those are for teacher grants from Ecolab and the City of Industry. And so it's a local business that collects dollars, and many of our teachers apply for grants, and then we had an opportunity to go and accept the grants right before school started, on the Friday before school started. So many happy teachers putting great programs in place in the classrooms. There's also a $25,000, little bit and some change that it's donated for a specific purpose from the Roland PTA at Blandford. So the Blandford PTA has donated a little over $25,000, which is specifically designated for a shade play structure at Blandford Elementary School. And so they've donated that to the district. We will hold it for that specific purpose for them until there are enough dollars that have been accumulated for them to achieve their goal. This evening, it is also my pleasure to introduce a new staff member. So we have Tricia Colella that's here in our audience. So I'd like to invite Tricia to come up. And Tricia, it's my pleasure to introduce her to our community. Tricia joins our district as our coordinator of educational technology. And so Tricia is described by her colleagues as a pioneer in innovative thinking. Her experience in the area of educational technology is outstanding. But what's even more valuable to our work in the Roland Unified School District is her technology skills are seamlessly coupled with strong instructional and pedagogy background. You've all heard me say it's not about the device, it's about the teaching and learning. And so it's my pleasure to welcome Tricia to our team.
Thank you. I'll keep this short. I just wanted to tell you all thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here. I couldn't even begin to put it into words. I'm here because I saw so much passion for what I'm passionate about, and that is learning. Learning for everyone, by everyone. All hands in the middle, collaborative efforts. I love the collaboration across districts, across schools, across teaching, across grade levels, all with the same goal and vision of helping all students. And the leadership that I've seen here over the last 2 years, I don't know if everyone knows this or not, but for the last 2 years, I've been at many conferences, through COATSIN, through technology, different events around the state. And every single one I've been to, I've seen Dr. Mitchell and many of the staff members from Roland Heights. So I came here because I already knew a few different people. I've crossed paths with some of the different people who are in this district, and I feel so blessed to be here with everyone because it's truly the dream team. I know it, I see it, and I feel very fortunate to be here. So thank you.
Thanks, Tricia.
Thank you, and welcome again. Okay, next we're going to go to our student board representative reports. So from Santana High School, we have Ms. Sanchez. Is she not here?
Oh.
Different? Okay, yeah. So we have Santana High School. Yes.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Giselle Cruz, and I am the new ASB president for Santana High School. This year, with the help of the ASB crew, we got the opportunity to welcome back former and new Santana students, greeting them with inspirational signs while they were being dropped off by parents. As a result in that, Back to School Night was a success. In effort to get more parents involved, ASB is hosting a parent involvement dinner on September 23rd to inform parents of upcoming activities and events. We are encouraging students and parents to get involved and participate in school activities such as feeding the homeless, reading to sick children, and visiting the elderly. We are also encouraging them to participate in upcoming blood drive Thursday, September 15th to help save a life. We are proud to announce that we are partnering with Rymer Elementary School's Options Program to tutor students kinder through sixth grade after school to help with their academic achievements. My goal for this year is to encourage students not to be afraid of trying new things and not to be afraid of believing in what they are capable of doing. Santana has made an impact in my life, and I believe that those students who are in need of help deserve a chance to better themselves at Santana High School. Our high school is our family, and I am grateful that I got a second chance to better myself and to start brand new. Thank you.
Thank you. And from Nogales High School, now I know we have Laura Martinez here.
Good evening, Madam President, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the Cabinet, and members of the audience. My name is Laura Martinez, and I am this year's Executive President, and I'm here tonight to represent Nogales High School. At only our first weeks of school, Nogales has already had multiple different events for the students. On the first day of school, students were welcomed with numerous ASB posters, balloons, and the new Noble Tunnel. And on the 25th of August, we had our back-to-school night, which only added more to the hype of the start of the school year. That same week, we had multiple clubs begin sign-ups. We will be having the ILSU Club Fair on September 16 for clubs to promote their organization even more. Sadly, though, because of the new changes regarding food and drink sales at school, many clubs have been discouraged to participate in this event. We hope that we can somehow come into an agreement about what could be sold during school hours because the restrictions now are limiting fundraising for all organizations. But on the positive side, we've had our volleyball, badminton, and choir tryouts, as well as a senior shirt design contest go out for the entire school. There were great results from all these events, and by the following week, we had our senior shirt design and a sign-up list running for anyone interested in helping create our senior wall. Also, more great news for the seniors is the senior package. We will be allowing seniors to purchase it in payments until September 30th. This is very helpful, especially with the new payments we'll have to start making soon for college. Thanks to staff and administration, we will be prepared for this year and paying our deadlines because of their motivating speeches they gave to us on August 31st during the Senior Information Assembly. They, along with everyone else, have been doing a great job in preparing us for college. One example being the College Information Night for seniors and parents on the 14th of September. As a senior, I can personally say that this has been a good year so far, especially with the senior luau that just happened on the 8th of September. It was an incredible event that was presented for us for the first time, and I hope that this event continues and becomes one of Nogales' other traditions. Another great news, students interested in a law enforcement career or in need for more credits for graduation have been offered the chance to participate with ROP in the Law Enforcement Explorer Academy, which is held on Saturday mornings. It seems like a fun activity to be involved in, specifically because it won't interfere with our football games on Fridays. Speaking of football games, we've had a couple occur since the start of the school year, and I'm happy to say that this past Friday, our team was able to take the win. We encourage everyone to stop by and support our football teams, as well as the girls' volleyball, boys' water polo, girls' tennis, and cross-country teams in their next games. And we hope for a solution to the air conditioning issue in our gymnasium that our school has been suffering with for a very long time now. Coming up soon will be the Crucible Play that we put on by our drama club this year. Along with this, our school will be having Staff Member of the Month, so please, if you see any faculty member at Nogales showing hard work and dedication, don't be afraid to come by to our main office and let us know. And if you see any students struggling with homework, tell them that they can join the tutoring sessions at the library from Monday to Friday from 3 to 4. Also coming up soon is the first annual RUSD College Fair that will be held at Roland High School on Thursday, September 22nd. This is an opportunity for seniors to meet representatives from USC, CSU, private and out-of-state universities, community colleges, and the military. So please help us spread the word. Thank you. See you next month.
Thank you, Laura. And Dr. Mitchell, I'd like to request on behalf of the board that in our next report we receive information on the food and drink sale restrictions, please. Sure. Thank you. And next we have from Roland High School, Ms. Kawachi. I was not going to try to pronounce your first name.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Leah Kwachi, and I'm the student representative of Rowland High School. We officially started school on, 5 weeks ago from yesterday. So we started that off with a senior sunrise, welcoming class of 2017, watching the first sunrise of the last school year. They came in around 5:30 and received complimentary breakfast, which included donuts and apple juice. And they were able to write a letter to themselves, expressing their goals or what they really hope to achieve this school year. And then they will be able to open it again on their senior sunset near the end of the school year. That same week, we had our welcome back assembly. This was to welcome our freshmen and new students to Rowland High School, promoting our academics, our performing arts, athletics, and clubs, and most importantly, incorporate our Raider goals through the entire assembly. We had our club fair day on Friday, September 2nd, introducing students and freshmen to our Rowland High School clubs. We have over 50 clubs on campus, and these range from community service, interests, academic achievement, and academic competitions. Last week, we had our back-to-school night. Parents and guardians were welcome to our campus and to meet the administrative board and to see cheer, choir, and band perform. Yesterday, we had our class meetings during lunch, and these class meetings are really to inform our students about our upcoming events and activities and how they can participate in them. As for upcoming events, first we have our financial aid night, which is this Thursday at 6 p.m. in the Hideout. It's to inform the students and parents about our FAFSA program. This Friday is the LA County Fair that Rowland High School will represent their athletic teams, their performing arts teams, and it's to showcase to the community our diverse and various departments. Next Monday, we have our In-N-Out Truck fundraiser. It's from 11:30 to 1:30, and ASB and Athletics will sell tickets for $5 to raise money. next Thursday, we will have our first annual College Fair Night. Colleges and universities will showcase their schools to inform students about their campus and what they have to offer. On September 26th, selected ASB students will attend the CARE Conference. This is to really motivate and inspire them and to let them learn and experience new leadership skills. At the end of the month, we have our Battle of the Tracks rally promoting our football game, and it will take place during lunch, and the football team will play games and play music and really involve the students in the exciting event that will take place at night at 7 p.m. at Nogales High School versus Nogales High School football team. That will conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Next, we'll go into our public comments. Please note, remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. First, we have Debbie Hesswing. Sorry.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Mitchell and Lynn. It's my first time here. I don't know exactly how the process goes. But I'm here to just make people aware of pedestrian safety. September is Pedestrian Safety Month. It's recently been declared Pedestrian Safety Month in California by the DMV, Office of Traffic Safety, and the California Highway Patrol because of the increasing numbers of pedestrians injured and killed on California roadways. And the reason why I'm promoting it is I'm the parent of a young child whose life was taken in 2014.
Sorry. Take your time.
I'll be okay. Hoping this wouldn't happen. My son Aiden was a Blandford student. He was 1 week away from completing second grade when his inattentive driver turned it into a crosswalk that he was walking in with the right of way and just killed instantly. So recently I've been working with Blandford to try to promote pedestrian safety around the school, especially at drop-off and pick-up times. There's a lot of problems with driving and the safety of the kids. And so I'd just like to ask for support from the district and members of the audience of the community. Whatever ideas you have, you can visit our website. We started a nonprofit organization called Stop for Aiden. I have flyers if you guys would like. The website address is www.stopforaiden.org. We're open to any ideas, suggestions. We are working with Blandford right now, and I would like to work with other schools across the district.
Thank you, Debbie. And Dr. Mitchell, I'd like to see how we can maybe meet with her later to see how the district can support this cause and maybe do something each year to honor Aiden's memory each September. Thank you again. Next we have William Harrison.
How you doing? I don't have time to. This thing will stay up. Can you hear me clearly? Okay, I'm going to face the audience. I'm here to speak on behalf of the progress that's been made at Nogales High School, letting everyone know that the Nobles, this is the year of the Nobles, okay? We have outstanding programs, outstanding teachers, we have a strong administration. Mr. Nusuf, I hope I got it right, sir, has been an outstanding administrator. I've been there day in, day out. I saw the opening school. I saw the closing school. I participate in every activity. Howsoever, my main objective is to tell you the outstanding programs we have at the Nogales. We have more than 20 AP classes, which make us very competitive. I'm sorry. We have IB classes. We have AVID. We have ASB. We have a college center. I hope we can get a college center. We have a college counselor right now. I'd like to see a center for the most part. We have a computer labs. We have a robotics lab. We have Nogales Tech, which is very, very new to the district. We also have our English scores up, math scores are up, football's up, and it's up for you guys, too, over there at Roland. So I'm letting you know that Nogales will not only meet the bar, but they're going to start setting the bar. We have outstanding teachers on staff. We have parental support. Again, we have perhaps the best administration I've come around. We have, I hate this, well, I could say this, being honest with you, the whole Roland Unified School District, and I call, and I'll be honest with you, I am difficult to get along with, but everybody I've talked with has been very, very, very professional. I would hope that the administrators here at the end of the day and at the schools would say thank you to their staff because they are really knowledgeable, polite, and courteous people. Can't say the same for myself, okay? In terms of Dr. Mitchell, clearly transparent. I mean, I can be in the hallway, and she'll walk out, we'll talk, go back and forth, any concerns, et cetera. So for those parents who are a little skittish about Nogales High, you need to go over and visit. I'm more than happy to visit with you. I go through the campus. I look for problems. I'm a 40-year teacher, so I know what to look for. 40 in one district, 38 in another. I taught day school and night school. So I look for the graffiti. I look for kids roaming the hallways. You're not seeing it. In terms of our administrative staff, Mr. Frank Chang, Mrs. Ward, and Mrs. Healy, outstanding people. I can't say enough about Mr. Chang because I'd go back and forth with him, back and forth. He's like my punching bag. I'm being honest. And at no time has he ever closed the door and said, I'm not available. We really have some very professional people here. I also want to point out that in terms of tutoring, damn. That's 3 minutes that fast?
That was the new sound system.
I'm sorry. That was 3 minutes, yes.
I like MacArthur in the Philippines, I'll return next meeting with the record.
Great. We hope so. Thank you so much.
Say my man right here, I hate to say it, but outstanding administrator also. Every time I've gone to Oswald, he's there with open arms.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Harrison.
You sure you try 3 minutes?
You're for sure.
For sure.
Save some for next time.
Yeah, we just want you to come back next month and tell us more. Next, we have Dan Walslitz. Wallitz. I'm sorry, I'm ruining everyone's names tonight. Okay. Darlene McBrady. That was an easy one.
May I have permission from the board to extend my presentation by about a minute and a half?
I'm looking at the number of requests we have to speak tonight. Six, seven. I see Ms. Bennett was with you. Are you guys separate or are you guys combined?
You can finish mine or I can finish
it. Okay. So let's have her finish it and combine the two. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Darlene McGrady. I'm currently teaching fourth through sixth grade strings at 10 elementary schools. I must say I love teaching strings. I would like to give you a short synopsis of my schedule each week. Monday, I teach back-to-back classes in the afternoon with no passing time. Tuesday, travel time to my second school site is 25 minutes, which includes hauling my cart from the far end of the campus at Oswald through the office, out to the parking lot, unloading my cart and loading up my car, driving to my next school, loading up my cart, walking from the far end of the parking lot through the office, walking to the MP room. I have been late every week getting to my second school site due to lack of sufficient scheduled travel time. My lunch is at 12:25 after teaching four classes. Wednesday, my lunch is at 9:55 in the morning. Yes, lunch. I then teach from 10:30 in the morning until 2:30 p.m., without a break. Once again, only 25 minutes are allotted in the schedule to travel from Roland Elementary to Yorbita, traveling on Fullerton Road. I have been late every week getting to Yorbita by at least 10 to 15 minutes. This is arrival time. This is not ready to teach time. Thursday, once again, not enough travel time to get from Telesis to Villa Corta. 1 week I was delayed by the freight train and was 20 minutes late. The other weeks, I have been late by at least 10 minutes. Also, the district schedule for Villa Corta does not allow 3 50-minute teachers' planning times. One of the planning times is short. I have notified the district, and George Herrera, the principal, has notified the district 3 times. Neither one of us has received a reply. Friday, I teach 3 classes in a row with no recess bathroom break. I then have 25 minutes to travel from Ibarra to Northam. Once again, I am late every week, arriving at the school site. Gerard Gonzalez has packed 80 students into his room in order to watch my students until I arrive, which is in the far back portable of the school. It has been suggested by the administration that I take a long lunch time. In their eyes, this is why I am late to my next school. However, on several of my days, my lunchtime is separate from my travel time, and I am still late arriving at my second school site. Also, all the music teachers arrive at approximately the same time. Therefore, the administration's argument has no validity. We have been told by the administration that having 5 minutes in between classes is enough time to use the restroom, so there is no need for us to have a recess, as all other teachers are allowed. It is impossible to use the restroom in between classes, as our portable classrooms are in the back of the school, far away from the nearest restroom.
Ms. Bennett will take over now.
We are being forced to teach as long as 4 hours without a recess break. The district's recommendation is to stop class, call the office, and have someone come cover. Is this what's best for kids? Our primary music teachers have no planning time, while every other first through sixth grade teacher has two planning times during the regular school day. They have been told to take their planning time after school on the minimum day. However, this is when we have our staff meetings. For the 22 years that Darlene has been teaching music in this district, our music teachers have always been given a planning time until now. Class sizes at most of the schools are large, especially the fourth grade classes, 37 to 49 students, with Oswald coming in, coming in at 75 students. Richard Shermer gave up his planning time to teach half of her string students. By the time she tunes 37 to 49 violins, usually about a minute apiece, class time is almost over. Darlene realizes that we hired an additional part of a person. However, this person will not relieve her in any way. They are being used for other purposes. In closing, we, the music teachers of RUSD, are asking, no, begging for your help. We cannot continue to teach six classes per day at this pace, 5 days per week with no bathroom breaks, not enough time to travel to our second school site, and no planning time for the remainder of the school year. These working conditions are absolutely horrendous. The solutions from the district all seem to include watering down the program somehow. End class early for travel, don't fully tune the instrument, pack the class with so many students that the level of instruction is compromised. We are asking you to approve the hiring of at least one more full-time music teacher to relieve those of us who teach six slots per day. We would then be teaching five slots per day, the same as secondary music teachers who teach multiple classes. We come to you with a recommendation. The social studies TOSA position has been flown on EdJoin for a very long time, and it does not appear anyone has been hired. We recommend tabling the social studies position for at least 1 year and using the funds allocated for that to hire a music teacher for this year.
Thank you. Next, we have Roseanne Forget.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Roseanne Forget. I've been a music teacher for Roland Unified since 1997 with a four-year detour into the classroom, and now happily back into teaching general music. First, let me tell you how wonderful it is to see the delight on my students' faces when it's time for music. Students have actually cheered when I enter their classroom. That never happened in first grade. I would like to talk to you tonight about how to make our music expansion program even better. Currently, I have one class of 50 students, five with 40 or more, and 11 with 35 or more. I only have two classes in all 10 of the schools I travel to that are single classes. I thought the intent of our program was to double up classes only when unavoidable, but it seems to me that this is more a matter of policy. We all know lower class sizes are best for children. In music classes specifically, when there are 35 students or more, focus and attention can suffer. Smaller class sizes encourage enthusiasm, engagement, and participation. Movement while singing is a big part of a good music education program, as some of you saw at the music camp this last summer. But movement options are severely limited when I'm teaching 1.5 to 2 classes of children at the same time. When I'm in a regular classroom full of furniture, which isn't the case for half of my classes, we move the furniture to the side as best we can, but there still isn't enough room to really move and do the music games that students love and that provide the foundation for learning music fundamentals. Part of this problem is because in some cases, music teachers for all sixth grades go to the same school at the same time. Open classes, if any, go to the band and string teachers. If music teachers had been part of the scheduling process, we would have pointed out this flaw in the schedule. A challenge we face teaching in tight spots and classrooms full of furniture is that it's just plain hard to teach under these circumstances. I was told to take it up with that site principal and that I could ask her for tips on classroom management. Classroom management is not the issue. It's not developmentally appropriate to have that many young children in one class, especially when the opportunity to move freely is not there. I think we need to hire more teachers to reduce our class size to manageable levels. I would like to make a recommendation that we reallocate the social studies TOSA position for at least 1 year and use the funds to hire an additional music teacher beyond what's being hired right now. Then we can see what happens with Prop 55 and revisit a plan for the following year, depending on if 55 passes or not. I'm very passionate about teaching music. Please help me do my job well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Mitchell, on behalf of the board, we'd like for you to look into this and provide us with a report. Next, we have Shay Lohman from ARE.
Good evening, board. My name is Shay Lohman. I'm the president of the Association of Rowland Educators. In 2012, Californians voted to protect education by supporting Proposition 30. That much-needed revenue is about to stop. California students, schools, and colleges can't afford to go back to the days of massive teacher and staff layoffs, stagnant salaries, and cuts to programs like art and music. Prop 55 maintains the current income tax rates on the wealthiest Californians who can most afford to pay in order to prevent billions of dollars in funding cuts for public education and other vital services like children's health care. Unless we pass Prop 55 to maintain the current income tax rates, California schools will lose $4 billion a year. We have made great strides in recent years. We are beginning to see programs such as elementary music beginning to be restored, and initiatives such as the RUSD technology plan adopted. The technology plan that Brian Huff and many of the educators that worked with him in adopting, that you will be adopting tonight, would not have been possible if the revenue we were receiving from Proposition 30 back in 2012 wasn't there. In order for us to maintain this progress and work to improve these programs and initiatives, it's essential that we work together to pass Prop 55. RUSD has made great improvements. Our assistant superintendent, Alex Flores, has done amazing work in developing accurate budgets, something that prior to Mr. Flores was a big problem here in Rowland, as you remember. However, if Prop 55 doesn't pass, unfortunately, Mr. Flores will be utilizing his great budget skills to look for places to cut instead of looking for new places to grow. And that's what we want. We want to continue to grow. The campaign has already started, and we'll be asking for your support throughout the fall. The association encourages the board to join thousands of other educators and business leaders in supporting Prop 55 by voting yes on the resolution on tonight's agenda. But most importantly, we'll be asking all of you to commit to voting yes on 55. As a board member, you hold a great deal of influence in our community. So we encourage you, talk to everybody you can about the importance of voting yes on 55 so that we can continue to thrive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lohman. Next, we have Sharon Carrillo from CSEA.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to begin with an update on Dolores Guerrero, our friend, our coworker, and CSEA executive board member. She was released from the hospital today, will have physical and speech therapy, and will be resting for the time being, getting stronger and stronger. Belinda and I saw her in the morning yesterday. She was looking good. Teresa was able to see her in the afternoon, and she was looking great by then. She is certainly on the road to recovery. I would like to invite everyone here to join CSEA and ARE for phone banking on Thursday, September 22nd, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the CSEA Santa Fe Field Office, located on Santa Anita Avenue in El Monte. Of course, dinner will be served. It is imperative that Prop 55 pass. We have yard signs if anyone would like one for their yard. We would really appreciate your support at our phone banking event. If you could please see me to sign up. I also want to mention, as I've said before, I always promote Rowland when I'm out and about, but especially at CSEA events. At my next regional president's meeting on September 29th, I want to be able to brag that Rowland's classified employees, teachers, cabinet, and administrators, and board came together to support Prop 55. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Roy Humphreys.
Hello, I'm Roy Humphreys, and get down to business here. Last meeting, Carrie Chen's board member's comment as to the need for more data only substantiates the need for this district to establish a board office with computer terminals 24/7 so that they can access anything and everything. And we have quiz time here. What is at the bottom of Pandora's box? Moving right along, high note. The state assembly person Gonzalez is killing the de facto segregation district of choice bill was a no-brainer. You live there, you make it the best that you can or move. You remove board members who disregard their duty to the people in the community. They are not glued to those seats. Robbing from the poor, giving to the rich is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Next on the bond oversight committee meeting of last one, we had Mr. Flores ask members of the committee as to the closing audit that they would like for the 2006 bond issue. One, the majority of these members just got off the boat at best. And the bond oversight committee is just beginning to establish legitimacy. And now those who are supposed to be the experts are asking the greenhorns about audits. In my opinion, that's abominable. And it is a fact that bond oversight committees have been passing audits for decades. And now some persons will be going to jail. And El Monte, who can't find $148 million in bond funds, is trying to avoid that fate. The term forensic audit, does that ring a bell with anyone? Okay, Mr. Flores also, after the meeting, had Mr. Peterson adjourn the meeting to go on a tour of changes with the construction of the Roland High School with construction persons. And, of course, they were limited to two of the committee members per construction person so they could avoid the Brown Act requirement. So, and that, my question to this, how lame is that? The tour is an extension of the meeting and totally ineffective and inefficient as to the meeting is obviously intended to preclude video recording, which would be the greatest asset for this community to get in touch with what this organization is doing. But you ask why? It is the people's right to know and see what is going on with their money. What happened to the core values that all you board members are supposed to be adhering to, including Ms. Pride there? It's called respect, integrity, responsibility, and accountability. And to the as to last month's situation where Ms. Pride was talking about her smiling and not looking back, we must come to the conclusion and the reality that the three monkeys syndrome is not 21st century. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Next, we have Catherine Rodriguez.
Good evening, board members, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and audience members. I'm Catherine Rodriguez, community liaison from Family Resource Center. And we started our year off with our annual Fresh Start Back to School event, in which we provided 195 RUSD students from TK to 12th grade with everything they needed to start off the year right. From shoes to clothes and backpacks filled with supplies, the students left prepared. We had some great volunteers from Ecolab, Faith Community, and the Home Church in Roland Heights, and others from the community as well. Costco also donated some great-looking backpacks, and Cato College provided much of the school supplies. Our liaisons have been busy with home visits, verifications, translations, counseling referrals, and attended their back-to-school nights. As of today, we have started the first of our two homework clubs, which are being held at Northam and Via Corta. And we also started some of our parent morning break clubs at some of our schools. And SARB as well started today. Finally, I want to thank the board and everyone present at these meetings because I do feel that it's had an impact on the number of referrals we've been getting because I really believe we're going to be very busy this year. The schools, admin, and teachers and staff are taking advantage of our resources and utilizing us in a better way. We also appreciate the support of the members and Dr. Mitchell when they come out to our events because I also feel that it has encouraged our families to become more involved and engaged in everything they do at Roland. So thank you.
Thank you. And next we have Kathy Connaughton.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Kathy Connaughton. I'm a community member and a teacher at Roland High School, ELD teacher. I wanted to speak about Friday's settlement of California. The federal government sued California for claiming responsibility for quality instruction and the student progress for English learners. The suit was aimed at districts that were not providing ELD. Fortunately, we weren't one of them. Now, what were some of the outcomes of the settlement? California pledged to make sure that all 1.4 million ELs receive special academic help. And it determined that the state's role to be established to ensure that all ELs receive high-quality instruction. The implication for us is that we have a number of LTELs who do poorly academically. Our school district has a majority of English learners. If the state determines that a district is not providing quality instruction, it must act within 60 days when it has determined that a district has failed to serve its ELs properly. Now, properly is the operative word. If the state determines poor instruction, then it will follow and set deadlines for improvement. The suit seeks to look more closely at EL student progress and the quality of instruction. Now, this suit concerned me because, you know, in the past we were in PI status, and I think that we're still striving to get up on top of it. If students in our school aren't performing well, then they're missing equality and educational opportunity. Our status, I believe, is one of the factors for our declining enrollment, another thing that worries me greatly. The suit establishes the state's role in making sure that students receive some level of service that speaks to the quality of instruction and the progress that students are making. These actions ensure access to the American dream. And so many of the kids that I teach that come from other countries, that's exactly what they seek. My sense about this is to take a look at how we administer the ELD program from top down. In recent years, under previous superintendents, the bilingual department that once existed and its support eroded and shut down. I wonder how we can serve these students who are at best the majority of our students in the district without a bilingual department as a home base to focus on these students. It functioned well when it existed and was under good leadership. The curriculum needs and pedagogies are specific and necessary to a high-quality program. The instructional needs of English learners cannot be thrown into the mix of mainstream curriculum development. Attention is needed to focus on the foundational instructional needs of the English learner that ELD and bilingual curriculum provide. This type of focus needs support and is critical to the success of the academic performance of English learners. That's all I have.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we'll go into our discussion action items. First, we have a change in board meeting schedule for the October 11th board meeting due to a conflict with the previously scheduled October 11th, 2016 Board of Education meeting. The board is being asked to approve a change in schedule for the October meeting. It is necessary for the Board of Education to amend the meeting schedule and approve a change to the October meeting date and or start time. It is recommended that the October 11, 2016 meeting start time be amended to be able to conclude the meeting prior to sundown as to not conflict with the observance of Yom Kippur. Specific times are estimates. Currently, we are looking at, and again, I restate, these are estimates, an open study session at 1 p.m., an open session starting at 4 p.m. to conclude by 6 p.m. May I get a motion to adjust the start times for the October 11th, 2016 board meeting? I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
I second.
A second by Lynn Ebenkamp. Questions or discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have a resolution in support of Proposition 55. Proposition 55, the tax extension to fund education and health care, is a proposition on the November 2016 ballot that will serve to extend Prop 30, which was passed in 2012. If Proposition 55 passes, it is expected to raise $8 through $11 billion a year that will go directly into a special fund that supports K-12 schools and community colleges. It also includes strict accountability provisions and funds will not be permitted to go towards bureaucracy or administrative costs. Additionally, funds will be subject to audits by the state controller. May I receive a motion for the Board of Education to adopt a resolution. I apologize, I forgot my glasses at home tonight, so I keep adjusting. To adopt a resolution in support of Proposition 55. I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
I second.
A second by David Malkin. Questions or discussion?
I understand that this would only extend the income tax, but it will let the sales tax sunset, so there will be a decrease of 0.25% sales tax.
That's correct. Yeah. Any additional questions or discussions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have the Roland Unified School District Technology Plan. It is recommended that the Board of Education approve the District Technology Plan as presented. The current state adopted District Educational Technology Plan expired June 2016, and district staff have updated the plan in accordance with Future Ready process, and they will share that with us now. Dr. Mitchell? Oh, may I get a motion to adopt the technology plan?
Well, we need to see it first, right?
Okay. And a second by Donna Friedman. Okay, Dr. Mitchell?
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure this evening to invite Dr. Brian Huff to the podium to share a presentation about the technology plan, and then we'll entertain questions from the board prior to any vote.
Good evening, Board, Madam President, Superintendent, Cabinet, and members of the audience. Make sure they. So tonight I'm going to provide an update on the planning process that we engaged in last year, and then the final tech plan that you have been provided with moving forward with the district. So, Dennis, could you?
I fixed it.
You did? Okay. Perfect. So we'll start with the background of the planning process, look at some of the highlights from the technology plan, and then we'll talk about next steps for this year. So as you are aware, the planning process was quite extensive and inclusive with many stakeholders in Roland. This graphic just shows a visual of how we started in April with a teacher survey and moved into a writing team that included the TOSAs and program specialists and district staff, and then also a pilot team of that piloted devices and also the learning management system. That plan was then sent to you in June, the Future Ready plan, and I just want to stop here and acknowledge all the people that were part of that planning process, because it was a lot of heavy lifting by a lot of people. So we had over 400 teachers participate in the survey, and you can see the breakdown there of the surveys. All of the TOSAs and program specialists that spent 5 days writing the plan, looking at research and best practice literature. And then also some folks that are in the room, Rosanna McLeod from purchasing, who did a lot of heavy lifting getting the pilot's devices up and running and out to the sites. Phil George, who's here in the back, who his team, again, heavy lifting. I'm going to use that word a lot because it was a lot of heavy lifting last semester. And Kurt and his team, the expanded team. and Brandy Miller, who's not here tonight, but who has done a phenomenal job in supporting the pedagogy. And who am I missing? Oh, and finally, I was going to mention her in a second, but Vicki Birch, who took all of the future-ready plan and folded it into the tech document that you see here tonight. So she did many hours of work there. So I just want to acknowledge all of them, and the Alex and Teresa and Dennis for all their support, too, along the way. So one of the questions that's come up is, how is the technology plan, how is that related to the LCAP plan, and how is it related to the tech plan that you see here? So this graphic shows that the future-ready plan, that the process that we went through last semester, those actions and goals feed right into LCAP Goal 2 and 4, and then also feed directly into the tech plan that we provided to you this weekend. So it's all one idea, one set of goals and strategies in three different formats. So a couple of snapshots from the data around the personalized professional learning. This data just shows that about half of the teachers that participate in the survey already report that the district is providing personalized ways of furthering their own growth. We expect teachers to do that with their students, differentiate their teaching for students. So we're growing in our ability to do that for teachers as well, as they learn different ways to incorporate technology. So here are some tangible ways that we are responding to that data and to build on providing more ways for teachers to access their professional learning. We have our EdTech Community Practice, which launched last week. We were very excited. We had 68 teachers apply for that, over double what we had last year. And so that launched last Wednesday. Tech Tuesdays instructional coaching will continue to happen. Competency-based badging, so a different way for teachers to demonstrate their learning and get sort of a gamification of their professional learning. Brandy is leading some three boot camps, Google boot camps this year. You may recall we brought in a team to do that for the district last June, and now Brandy is leading those three, fall, winter, and spring. And then we're starting something new this year, too, a Twitter chat the last Wednesday of every month from 3:30 to 4:30. So this will primarily be our EdTech teachers, all 68 of them, will get on Twitter from 3:30 to 4:30 from anywhere in the world around the district. And it'll be open to anyone else in the district to also jump on and see what we're learning, see what they're learning, what questions they're asking, what's going on. So please join us on every last Wednesday of the month from 3:30 with that hashtag, RUSDShares. And we will show the board, we'll show the board how to do that. I'm going to need a little push.
Not going.
Not working. That little arrow.
It's locked.
Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you. So the next sort of data snapshot shows that overwhelming majority of teachers that participated in the survey agree that technology is important for engaging students in learning. They agree that we need a digital environment for students to learn, to increase the anytime, anywhere learning that goes on. And also, you can see 16% of teachers say we're not quite ready to look at different flexible schedules. So in response to that data, one way that we are increasing anytime, anywhere learning in Roland is the partnership with the Power My Learning, which we're going to pilot at two schools, so fourth graders at Roland Elementary and the seventh grade families at Giano. They will all be receiving a laptop for their families, and along with training, a family workshop training, and three trainings throughout the year. That will launch on October 1st and 8th. And that is a nonprofit that partners with Title I schools to close the digital divide. Then the second part of the plan is the device rollout. So as we've mentioned, we're focusing on the district initiatives in the rollout this year. Starting next year, we'll be rolling out district-wide in the odd grade levels, so grades 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11. And then the following year, 18, 19, the even grades, so kindergarten, 2nd, 4th, 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th. So by that third year, having access across all grade levels, across all sites, to mobile devices. And then, again, reiterating, the survey data shows we need to do some more thought and research around different uses of space and time, so using flexible scheduling, extended day learning to provide students with opportunities to learn not just within the school but beyond the school walls. So we're spending our 4 future-ready meetings looking at that question of how do we strategically change the way we think about use of space and time for students and families. So we'll be giving you updates on how that goes this year. We've shared the results of the pilot last year, but this was a big part of the work last year. We now have district standard devices in grade K through 2 is our iPads, grades 3 through 8 are Chromebook 11s, and then grades 9 through 12 are Chromebook 14s. It's such a small paragraph up. There's so much work that went into doing that. But really, again, thanks to Phil and Rosanna for helping with that process. But it really has already made a big difference in streamlining the support that we can provide to sites and also the ordering process and the professional development. And then also we have a learning management system now in place, Schoology. So in response to those pilots, as we mentioned, carts have been rolled out as of yesterday. We got the first carts rolled out to all the EdTech teachers, 21 carts, and then the AMP program, Achievement Made Possible program. We're finalizing that list of teachers, and we'll get carts out to them. And the science teachers, part of Mr. Chang's group that's rolling out the NGSS standards, are also getting carts to support their science inquiry this year. Sites are... as part of this plan, sites will be providing ongoing replenishment of teacher devices. So as teachers need new devices, they will fund that at the site level. And then also they're funding carts for the ELA and math pilots this year. Curriculum is changing. There's digital components in all of the curriculum that we're considering. So we wanted to make sure that every teacher that's participating in that process this year has access to technology to make sure they make an informed decision about what the future of instruction and learning will look like. And then Schoology, we have a learning management in place. As we've mentioned before, we're taking a phased-in approach. So this is year 1 of a 3-year plan. And this year we'll focus on learning by doing. So we're delivering all the PD through Schoology. Principals, teachers will experience it as students in Schoology so they can turn around and do that with their students in the future. Next steps in identifying 21st century learning is a charge Dr. Mitchell gave us a year ago, I think in this meeting, actually. And so stage 1, last year you see in green that we worked through. Stage 2 this year will be use of space and time, audio system, streaming technology, and projection technology. So a lot of that work will be done with the COP teachers and then the future-ready meetings, the quarterly meetings. As a reminder, following up on Phil George's presentation earlier this year, there's been a lot of work on updating the infrastructure, upgrading the Wi-Fi access points, increasing broadband at all the sites, and really, I think most importantly, increasing staff and providing folks on the ground that are very responsive. We've already getting so much positive feedback about the work that they're doing, providing support to teachers in the classroom. And a help desk that they can call and get immediate support right away. So you can see here the breakdown of the current access to technology in Roland. So this is based on a May 2016 district-wide inventory. So this will serve as our baseline data going forward. You can see across the different grade spans and school types the different ratios of devices to students. So in the elementary, 1 device for every 3.9 students, all the way up to high school, 1 device for every 2 students if we look at grade span across the district average. In your packet you received, it broke it down by school, so you could see that by school and what those ratios are. And then finally, just a note that we are looking at this plan not as set in stone, but as a living document. It will guide our next steps. But we will, as we implement it, make adjustments, improve it, we'll come back at the end of next year and make adjustments as needed so that it is a living document and reflects the current needs, especially around technology that's changing at a very rapid pace. And, see if there were any questions.
I have a couple. The first thing is, on your plan where you mentioned the different hardware for the grades, the iPads, the Chromebooks, and then the larger Chromebooks. Is there, when a child goes from one grade to the next, and the next grade goes from an iPad to a Chromebook, is there any problem as far as the children, students transitioning from one type of hardware to another?
So they'll make that transition at grade 3,
right.
But even in the earlier grades, they're doing keyboarding, and it's, the reality is that we live in a world with multiple devices anyway. So mm-hmm. as students and as people that are learning and education, you're going to be using, you know, your phone, you're going to be using a laptop, you're going to be using a Chromebook, an iPad. So that transition, there will be some training the teacher will do with the students, mm-hmm. but they're pretty adaptable and learn very quickly the new devices.
Is the software specific to that type of hardware then? Like the software you buy for an iPad, can it be used on a Chromebook?
There are some applications that are available across both platforms, both iOS and Android. Some are just available on the Apple devices and vice versa in Chrome, but there is a lot of crossover. I think the important point is, what are we asking them to do? And so the same kind of learning can happen on both devices, regardless of the platform or the application.
Okay, then in your actual detailed report that's on Agenda Online, from my experience, it's kind of like a dog chasing its tail, that you need stronger and more powerful software that requires, you know, better hardware, and then you are constantly upgrading each other. And I notice on the goal 4 of the under goal 1, goal 4 under goal 1 under the LCAP, it says establish a 3-year replacement cycle for the equipment. But on your survey, it shows that the desktops, the Mac desktops, and the PC laptops are all over four years old already from the starting out of the gate. We're behind already.
Yes.
A 3-year cycle. So how do we get caught up so we can get into a 3-year cycle?
Yeah, so the survey data you mentioned there at the end is self-reported survey data on teacher devices.
Mm-hmm.
The way we've crafted the plan is that sites are responsible for upgrading and funding teacher devices as needed. So if there is a teacher that needs a device, then that would be something the site would use their funds to do. The 3-year replacement cycle is as we start to look at these district initiatives and roll it out district-wide across the odd grades next year and then even grades the following year, making sure we're strategic and planning ahead in terms of funding and allocating funds to replace those devices at the district level that will be supporting the mobile devices in the classroom.
Okay. And on page 15 of your report, on your slides, you showed the average ratio. But when you look at the detail, like you said, you had in the report that were site-specific, the ratio varies quite a bit, everything from 3.0 all the way up to 7.59. How do we level the playing field eventually for all the schools that they're all, you know, have a similar or close to ratio?
So I think the 3-year plan to roll out devices across the grade levels is in an effort to level the playing field and provide equal access across all the sites. You are correct. When you look at the table there, you can see different ratios based on the sites. And it reflects the reality that sites are run by their local leadership and school site councils that make decisions about funding. And so you can see how some sites have allocated those funds mm-hmm. towards technology and some have not to this point. But the plan we have at the district level is to roll that out district-wide to help to start leveling that playing field.
So do we have a district-wide committee or person or process to see how each site is allocating those funds?
So in terms, we have site-based decision-making regarding their discretionary dollars. And so, yes, the school sites have leadership teams and have decision-making bodies on their site that help determine how the school site, as well as their school site council, choose to spend their dollars. Mm-hmm. And we can't dictate to them. We can suggest, but it is a process that includes the school site council to be able to make those decisions locally. And again, as Dr. Hopp has mentioned, there are some schools that have prioritized their expenditures on technology at a higher rate or a faster rate than what other schools have. Our strong focus in the area of instructional technology, with technology supporting the learning that's happening in our classrooms, not as a standalone item, has been a main focus for us for the last 18 months to 2 years. And so the devices that you see are also up to 4 years or older than 4 years. So it will begin to even out. I can't say that it will always be even, that the fiscal allocations per our schools vary based on size of school, based on dollars that they receive, whether it's federal or state dollars that our schools receive. Mm-hmm. So it may not always be equal. But we have not, as a district, had a plan in place prior to now that would show what our commitment is as a district to support strong instructional practices that then are supported by the use of technology. So providing the backup in terms of district-provided devices, as Dr. Huff has laid out, that we've done this year, that has had a true absolute instructional focus with NGSS, with our ELA adoption, with our COP, and with our Project AMP, and then going into our even-numbered classrooms, grade levels, and then our odd-numbered classrooms, or grade levels.
Yeah, thank you.
Could I add something on to that? My criticism with the district years ago was that we would think of great programs, but then we'd institute them and we'd take on to the next thing. That follow-up is so important to know how it's doing. We cannot do without that. So, you know, it's important to identify the people who are going to do it and to make sure we're moving.
Yeah, that's correct. We have had a consistent group. Dr. Huff has led a group of teachers and administrators that have been working on, the instructional educational technology side of things. And we have a really strong base of folks that is expanding and expanding and expanding. So we asked for volunteers to participate in opening a new cohort, and we had 68 people that came through to volunteer. So when I spoke about, you know, our swimmers, our shark watchers, and our flagpole huggers, we're moving, and we're all wading in the water at this point, at least.
We're getting there.
But your point is very well taken, and that's where it's a large fiscal commitment on the part of our district to support this initiative. But again, we need to also not lose sight that it's about instruction, and then this supports good instruction.
But even though each school site is independent as far as that's concerned, this plan that you outlined is their guiding light for all the school sites. So they have that in common. So.
Yes, and we were quite clear in terms of our expectations. If they had discretionary dollars, these were areas that we would like to see it. And there is now no longer the choice about what kind of device. That was a collaborative effort across the entire district with representatives from all areas of our district to be able to participate to define what the device would be. Mm-hmm. So we have defined the devices by grade level. And then, again, we've helped and guided our schools, just as you've said, in terms of the district's going to fund this, and if you're looking for something to fund, this is the area, because we aren't funding these things. So, because I think sometimes there was always a little bit of a hesitation, that there was a fear that the school would go out and buy it, and then 3 weeks later the district would decide they'd buy it. And so now we've really established what's a site fiscal responsibility and what will be a district fiscal responsibility.
And just real briefly, turn it in. Can you just briefly, in one little paragraph, explain
sure.
that?
Sure. So it's a tool that teachers use to make sure that their students aren't plagiarizing. You cut and paste the text of the paper that the student wrote into the application, and it tells you, gives you a score of how much it was that's plagiarized. It searches the internet basically for published documents and to make sure that the students aren't plagiarizing.
Very good. Yeah. I want to thank you for doing the report because I understand that the plan isn't a requirement, so we're going beyond the requirement by developing this plan. So thank you very much for doing that.
Go ahead. Gary? Oh, we have more. Mr. Chen?
I think a few years ago, in about, I think it's the 2008.
It's on. It's on. Can you hear me? Okay, that's better. Okay, in about a few years ago, I think it's about 2008, FAGMA came to our district and had a long evaluation, and it gave us a long recommendation. And some of the items are very, I think, very impressive. Have you looked into that and implement some of them? I think there's one item and recommend us to have one technology department, mm-hmm. and the one that I think we have that now is that mm-hmm. Phil George is the one. Mm-hmm. And there's some other recommendations and ask us to have a, because we're going to implement a lot of softwares and hardwares and internet and all of those, and a lot of users increase a lot of users, and the recommendation is recommend the users to sign a acceptable usage. Yes, mm-hmm. do we do that?
Do we have an acceptable use policy in place? Yes, and that's passed out to every student. Mm-hmm.
The equipments establish a policy for replacement, acquisition, or disposal. And do we have that?
We do.
Okay. It's mandatory.
Right.
Yes, we are aware of the 2008 FICMAT study, and it is something that we have looked at and have gone through. The background of why that study was commissioned is not, there wasn't anyone that had that history in terms of why that overall study was commissioned, but it did provide good insight, even though it is dated. Mm-hmm. But as we have gone through it and looked at it, there's pieces regarding infrastructure, safety, the acceptable use policy, staffing in the department, and so we have that. Those are items that have been addressed even prior to this plan. So this plan does not align to that FICMAT study, line by line by line.
Some of the items do,
but it is. But we have reviewed it, and yes, we are in compliance.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Lennon and Donna.
After looking over the plan, it's become very evident to me that kids love technology. Mm-hmm. They're going to gobble it up. They'll do it all day long if we let them. But is there anything in the plan that keeps the teacher at the center so students are clear how far we want them to go with technology and also to implement that with the teachers?
Yes, so a full domain of the plan is around personalized professional learning, which centers around how do we as adults continue to learn in a very changing landscape in terms of education. Is that what you're referring to? Or
well, that and not letting technology take over the whole role of teaching.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. That mm-hmm. definitely, I think, is a conversation that we have, and I think continue to come back to the realization, I think, through the pilot, that even with the incorporation of technology, it elevates the role of the teacher and makes the teacher all that more important because the teacher becomes really the facilitator, the activator of knowledge. You have access now to all of this information and the ability through technology to do things you never could do before. So it really it elevates that role of the teacher rather than diminishes or sidelines the teacher. So we've been very clear with them in the meetings and trying to message that, but I think it's a good point, and we will continue to message that.
Ms. Friedman?
Just a comment. Thank you very much, Dr. Huff, and all the other people that you mentioned. A lot of work, and it just proves that we're on the right track, and Roland is doing great. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments? Thank you, Dr. Heff, for your hard work, and please relay our thanks to your team as well. I've had the opportunity to participate in some of this with all of you, and you do have a fantastic team, and the work that you guys are doing is definitely noticed by this board and appreciated by everyone. So thank you.
Okay, let me put glasses on.
Next, we have our unaudited actuals. The board is being asked to receive and approve the 2015. Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't vote. All in favor for the approval and adoption of the technology plans?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we have our unaudited actuals. The board is being asked to receive and approve the 2015-16 unaudited actuals financial report as presented. May I get a motion?
I move.
I have a motion by Ms. Friedman.
A second.
I have a second by Mr. Chin. Dr. Mitchell?
And so at this time, I would like to turn the podium and the mic over to Alex Flores to share with you a presentation regarding the unaudited actuals, which is a requirement that we do each year. So he'll go over that background, and then you'll have an opportunity to ask him questions.
Good evening, Board President Pride, board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, and audience. Thank you for allowing me this time to provide you a brief presentation on the unaudited actuals. In this presentation, I will provide a background of the unaudited actuals, share the unaudited actual any balances, and next steps for closing the 2015 fiscal year. I would like to start by sharing a slide we have seen before, the budget reporting cycle. As you can see, we just adopted the 16-17 budget and continued working closing the 15-16 budget by presenting the unaudited actuals tonight. This will be followed by the first interim for the 16-17 fiscal year in December. The unaudited actuals is the year-end fiscal statement. If we were a corporation, this would be our year-end balance sheet to show profitability. We are not a for-profit institution. And for us and for other school districts, this unaudited actual report reflects solvency and guidance. If a large variance occurs, we can use the information from the unaudited actuals to refine our current budget, for example, the first interim in our cycle. Since sharing the estimated actuals in June and in August, the financial books have now closed. Estimates or projections now replaced by only information in the system. This is a very, very large undertaking of closing the books. And I would like to give credit where it's deserved, the fiscal team. They have been awesome and should get all the credit for closing these books. When the district breaks for summer vacation, this department does not go on vacation. The work is intense from spring to the end of August. Along with the fiscal department, closing the book involves other departments like purchasing, warehouse, school site office managers, and others. It's a team effort. As my button says, we have everyday heroes here. As I digress from my presentation, it was so nice and refreshing to hear that our newest member that has joined us from a distance saw the great work that Roland Unified School District is doing. And it's because of these great individuals that work here. For an example, when we were closing the books, the complexity that I saw of a conversation that Dr. Mitchell had with Shay regarding supplies for teachers in the classrooms and making a recommendation to the board that you guys also went forward with a $300 spending for each teacher. That's 700 teachers times $300. That's an amount. But when you do purchase orders and you have maybe 10 different vendors
or 15 people in the back are throwing things at me, especially her. We're talking about an enormous amount of paperwork, enormous amount of work. But we have heroes here. And Roland Unified is very fortunate to have dedicated, caring, and honest individuals working for this district. Again, I personally want to thank the fiscal team publicly and everyone else that helped support the work for closing the books. In other presentations, I conclude the reports by illustrating the revenue and expenditure impacts on the fund balance, ending fund balance. For this report, I begin with the ending fund balance because these are no longer assumptions or estimates. The ending fund balance illustrates the fiscal position of the district. The fiscal position has strengthened as the ending fund balance has increased. The ending fund balance will increase by $2.9 million. Of the $2.9 million, $1.7 million is related to site carryover. Sites are provided a budget each year, and currently unspent funds are carried over. This last year, school sites did not spend all of their budgets, primarily on facility improvements and on student devices. Some facility improvements require DSA approval and will be completed this year. The selection of student devices to be used was determined after the ordering deadline had passed. Student devices ordered over this summer, and there were several, will be charged to the 16-17 budget. Overall, the district undesignated ending fund balance grew by $1.2 million. Revenue was close to our estimates and came in below by $115,000. Expenditures were lower by $1.3 million. So again, overall, our unrestricted ending balance improved by $1.2 million. On the restricted side, overall, the restricted ending balance slightly improved by $100,000. So we're very close from our estimates. Final steps to close the 15-16 fiscal year are underway. Our auditors, Nigro and Nigro, began their comprehensive audit in the spring, visiting school sites and our district office. A DAT file of the unaudited actuals will be reviewed, analyzed, and confirmed by the auditors. The auditors will be back at our district site in October to continue this comprehensive work. The auditors will complete their work by December 15th and present to the board on January 10th. Thank you.
Questions?
I have.
Mr. Malkin?
As you're aware, Prop 55, and we've had some presentations from several people already mentioning Prop 55. Not knowing if that's going to pass or not, say it doesn't pass, do we have a contingency plan other than this budget that we're seeing today on how we'll handle that result?
Well, as I shared in the end, in slide 9, the ending fund balance unrestricted would be around $23.7 million. That would be could be used for that. But I think it was very well said earlier today that there definitely would have to be some discussions and talks of what cuts would have to happen if Proposition 55 did not pass. So there is no contingency plan, but there is, we're in a very good fiscal position so that maybe we could have a soft landing, but some definitely difficult decisions and hard decisions would have to be made.
Yeah, thank you.
Ms. Friedman?
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Flores, and your team. Excellent job. Very good. And thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Eppenkamp?
Have you made provisions for the fact that the sales tax portion is not going to be included if it does pass? Are you estimating the amount minus that sales tax from what we have been getting?
Yes, in our projections that we did for our budget, we did estimate that for our revenue, potential revenue.
Okay. And actually, I'd like to say one other thing. I like that you showed the picture of your group because they're kind of the unsung heroes. They haven't had an easy job in your department, of no fault of yours, but it hasn't been the most stable. And since I've been on this board, I know there have been changes, but they've been necessary changes. And they have hung in there, and they've worked hard, and we're finally making some progress. You have done a fabulous job keeping the board informed, whether people in the audience like it or not. I know that I'm informed, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for behalf of my staff, too.
Mr. Chin?
Let's talk about reserve. The same as the, how much change of the reserve you expect?
I'm sorry.
The reserve. Yeah, the amount of the reserve.
Oh, the reserve, it's on slide 9. Mm-hmm. It's the undesignated is $23.7 million.
So very close to what we're expecting? Very close to what we're expecting?
Actually, yes. We increased our undesignated reserve by $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any additional questions? Ms. Eppenkamp?
Sorry. I'm going to go back to the reserve a little bit. I understand your philosophy, though, is to not keep accumulating, but to try to spend the money as it comes in for our students at the time we get it.
Especially the restricted side on that reserve. There's $16 million in a restricted side, and those monies are really set, are for those students for that year. Right. So if you're if you're saving money and then you're spending it actually for students that maybe they were not entitled to. So it's really important that those funds are used that year, especially.
Thanks.
On the restricted side.
Any additional questions? I just want to say that I started following the budgets very closely a little over a year before I ran for office. And the budgets that we've received since you've come on board have been the most accurate that I've ever seen. And we definitely appreciate that. And then I'd also like to convey the same sentiment that Ms. Eppenkamp did in regards to your staff. It's been very, very difficult for them, not just with the amount of work, but with the constant criticism that they get from individuals who don't understand what they are doing and how hard they are working for our district. And I think that it's important that people recognize that these are employees of the district who do have the district's best interest at heart and do want to see what's best for the district, and that they work late hours and weekends, and they really do step up to the plate when we need them, and they're not deserving of the criticism that they constantly are on the receiving end of at all. So please let them know that this board supports them and appreciates them as well as you.
I will start my day with that message. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Then may I have a motion to accept the unaudited. Oh, I'm sorry. I need a vote. I'm sorry. And I get all in favor of accepting the unaudited actuals. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Next, we have our San Gabriel Valley Co-op piggyback bid number GUSD16-B010 between Roland Unified School Districts and Galasso's Bakery for the purchase of fresh bread products. May I get a motion to accept the piggyback bid with San Gabriel Valley Co-op bid number GUSD16-B010?
I move.
I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
Second.
A second by Lynn Eppenkamp. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have the San Gabriel Valley Co-op piggyback bid number 15-16-116 between Roland Unified School District and PNR Paper Supply Company for the purchase of paper products and disposable goods. May I get a motion for the board to approve the PNR Paper Supply Company piggyback bid with SGV Co-op bid number 15-16-116.
I move.
I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
A second.
A second by Carrie Chin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have San Gabriel Valley Co-op piggyback bid number 15-16-116 between Rolling Unified School District and Platinum Packaging Group for the purchase of paper products and disposable goods. May I get a motion for the board to approve the Platinum Packaging Group piggyback bid with San Gabriel SGV Co-op bid number 15-16-116?
I move.
I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
I'll second.
A second by Lynn Ebenkamp. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have consider approval of the use of Downey Unified School District piggyback bid number 15/16-23 between Rolling Unified School District and SoCal Pizza, Pizza Hut. May I get a motion to approve the use of piggyback bid with Downey Unified School District bid number 15/16-23?
I so move.
I have a motion by Lynn Ebenkamp.
I'll second.
A second by Donna Friedman. Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have travel expenditure requests for Project Lead the Way Biomedical Science. The board is being asked to approve a request to reimburse the Project Lead the Way Biomedical Science teacher for expenses related to the 11-day mandatory training necessary to implement the high school courses at Roland High School. Due to the timing of the course adoptions and trainings, prior board approval could not be obtained. May I get a motion to approve the travel expenditure request for Project Lead the Way Biomedical Science?
I move.
I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
I second.
A second by Lynn Ebenkamp. Questions, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Elementary music instructional materials. At the recommendation of the board of the Roland Unified School District Elementary Music Teacher Committee, the board is being asked to approve the adoption of the Kids Sound Game Plan program for kindergarten through grade 5 for use with all music students in grades 1 through 6. An updated curriculum with digital components is necessary in order for the teachers to fully implement the music expansion program for students in grade 1 through 6. May I get a motion to approve the elementary music instructional materials?
I move to approve.
I have a motion by Lynn Ebenkamp.
I'll second.
A second by Donna Friedman. Questions, discussion?
I have a comment.
Mr. Malkin?
I went and met with Mary and Kim and Teresa Healy to review these materials. And, you know, keeping that in mind with some of the comments that were being made today about the music program, I really see this as growing pains. The program is so new, and we only had 60 to 90 days to actually implement it before school started. And some of these materials, like this material we're going to be voting on tonight, really, I think, will move the program along and make it smoother because it's so well organized that anybody can come in, use these materials. So I think that the more we get input from the music teachers like we did on these materials, and the more that, you know, we purchase and approve, I think the program will continue to improve and smooth out eventually. And hopefully we'll hear less and less about what's not working and more about what's working.
Mm-hmm.
So. And
thank you.
I agree with that. The first year is always the hardest. And on top of it being hard, they're not used to having such large classes. They're going to have to learn these new programs to be using to teach their students. So I would think the second year would be much easier.
May I get all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have course and instructional material adoption for ROP digital graphic design. The board is being asked to approve and adopt the course ROP digital graphic design 1 and instructional materials technology Photoshop CS101, Adobe Photoshop Classroom, and a book in Photoshop CS4 digital classroom for our USD students in grades 9 through 12. May I get a motion to adopt the course and instructional materials for ROP digital graphic design?
I move.
I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
I'll second.
A second by Lynn Ebenkamp. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Questions, discussion?
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we go into our consent calendar where we will be pulling items 7D2 and 7C6. So all matters listed under consent calendar are considered by the Board of Education to be routine or sufficiently supported by prior or accompanying reference materials and information not requiring additional discussion. They will be enacted by a motion as referenced below. There will be no separate discussion of these items prior to the time the Board of Education votes on the motion unless members of the board, staff, or public request specific items be discussed, added to, or deleted from the consent calendar for separate action. Members of the public may request that a specific item be removed from the consent calendar by completing the written request to address the board form card and presenting it to the Secretary of the Board in accordance with Board Bylaw 9322. All consent items are indicated by the designation of C after the item title. May I get a motion to approve the consent calendar minus item 7D2 and 7C6?
I move.
I have a motion by Donna Friedman.
I second.
A second by David Malkin.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I wasn't looking. I was trying to catch the voice. Was that David or Carrie? So, second by David Carrie and David Malkin. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we'll go to items 7C6, the purchase order. Not yet. For the approval and ratification of purchase orders, may I get a motion?
I move.
I have a motion by Carrie Chen.
I second.
A second by Donna Friedman. Questions or discussion? Mr. Chen?
I put an item because I spent about an hour and a half with Alex and Rosanna for trying to answer my questions about the purchase order and it's some more details. And I want to share what I learned from them to the public. Would you show the purchase order? We are... Right.
Mr. Chen, is this what you're looking for?
Yeah, we have... We are asking to approve about 53 pages of those. It's a lot, and the each item, information provided to us, and I put it out. For example, that one's I put out of the Apple computers purchase, and the item description of the item is all says computer. Equipment and all the same. They're all the same computer Apple Incorporated computer. And all about 35 items are all the same, but you didn't tell us what is the detail of the item. So that's why I raised the question and asked Alex what are they detailed and ask them to provide me the purchase order itself. Then I ask Alex if in the future if you can and give us more information on the item description, at least put the number of units on the unit price and what is the model number or is that in all detailed information for us to approve or for others to know more about that item we approve. But and I found out that was very time consuming for the for our people to put it in there because of the way it is right now. And it is all in the software called PeopleSoft, and it's very hard for our people to copy or to hand typing all of the information and put it on that report. And so I asked them in the future, if I have any questions, I will ask item particular item and study it and make the decision that way. But fortunately, we are in process of implementing a software called Smarty. And Smarty is going to give it more options to put more detail on the report. So hopefully when Smarty run up and running, then and we can get more detailed information on the purchase orders. And we work better that way. For the time being in the future, I will ask Alex to provide me or provide to the board the if this item I'm interested or I have questions, I ask the Alex department to provide me more information and a more detailed the full purchase order to us. So that I want to share it to the public, and that's why I did before I made a decision to approve it. Thank you.
Ms. Friedman?
I wanted to say the first time that we saw the purchase orders, it was very difficult. And now we've come a long way. There's so much detail that, yes, we received 54 pages, but there was enough detail for me to figure out where was going the money and all that. And if I had questions, which I did, I asked and they were answered. And so I really appreciate what it looks like now. We've come a long way. That's all I wanted to comment on.
Thank you. Ms. Ebbingham?
Now, Mr. Chin, you remember how little we used to get.
Right.
This is way more.
Right. It's a lot more now.
And we're getting we're getting most of the answers we want.
But they will, my appetite is more bigger now. I want more information.
And we'll put you as a volunteer in the payroll in the finance department.
Yeah, with the Smarty, the software implemented, and then we'll get a lot more information, easier to get it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think no? I hope.
Any additional questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have item 7D2, approve the human resource action item report for HR. May I get a motion?
I move.
I have a motion by Donna Friedman. I'll second. Oh, no, I can't.
I can't.
I second.
I have a second by Carrie Chin. Questions or discussion? I pulled this item because I cannot vote on it. I need to abstain due to an employee who is listed as a potential hire for the district and my relationship with that individual. So, any other additional questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Aye. Motion carries. Next, we have our conference section. You all have received the informational report of conference attendance for your viewing. Next, we have our board comments. And did we start with you last week, Lynn? So we're back to you, Mr. Malkin. You get to go first again.
I don't want that clock up there.
Yeah, put the timer on.
I did send a copy to Christina, so you should have a copy in your mailbox.
So just highlight it. Don't do the whole thing.
Here's another copy. It's in these one. Okay, just real quickly. Today, I'll start with today. I attended the IMC, Industry Manufacturing Council, and that's the chamber basically for the city of industry, and met three dignitaries there. Ben Gu, Katie Kwan, and Nathan Ortiz. They are all from Nogales and Roland High School. And they were at the conference interviewing people and learning about networking and the business world. So I thought it was great that our students were there. We had quite a few more. These are the ones that came over to me. So, and they had business cards. And on Ben's, it says senior seminar student, assistant public relations head. Pretty impressive. So I think it's great that that we take the students over there and that they can participate in that activity. I attended back to school nights, and I'm sure we all have done that. I just want to share one or two observations. One is how great the grounds look in the schools. But I had one teacher that came, or one teacher, one parent that came up to me as I was walking around, and he happens to be custodial employee for two other school districts. And he made a comment that the schools look so good that he wished he was a custodian in our district because it would ease the workload for him. He says that he tries to get the other districts to look as good as ours, but it's just very difficult because of maintenance issues and other things like that. So that came from a parent. So I'd mention that. I sat in on the IQ Academy teleconference, and a couple of things that came out of that real quickly. A lot of it was just straight business work that they have to do to approve policy, procedures, and budget for the year. But two things. One is they're preparing for their WASC survey right now, so they'll be going through that. And the other thing is I learned that for A through G, those are the requirements that you need for university, you know, California State Universities, they don't meet two of those requirements, and they're going to be trying to meet those. One is performing arts, and one is science. They need a laboratory for the students to be able to do experiments and things like this. So they're going to be reaching out to us and to other facilities to see if they can help them so they can meet the A through G requirements in those two areas. Just real quickly, they have 462 enrolled students with 90 pending. I attended the memorial services for Amelia Soriano. She was a longtime employee of Rolling Unified, and she's also the mother of Ryan, who used to work in the Personnel Commission. I tell you, it's such an honor to see the respect that we have in our district for our own employees. They had, I would say, well over 200 people there, and it was like a reunion of Roland High School. I saw people at Roland High that I knew from when my son was there back in the 90s that came back after being retired for 10 years and more to honor her. So I think that is really speaks loudly for Amelia and our employees and how we respect our employees. So that really was touching. I want everybody to know, you see the bus up here this Friday, as was mentioned earlier, is the Faraday. Anybody can contribute to the bus. That enables us to take students down there. We don't have to do it before the fair. We can collect money for next year. And I have the cards if you want to do that. And there's also coupons, as was mentioned, out there. And I also went to the Ecolab presentations. What a wonderful company that is. It's right over here in City of Industry. Huge company, but these are all people that work on assembly lines, that do the packaging, the drivers that deliver the materials. They form an employee committee, and they're the ones who generate these scholarships. Over $37,000 went to our students alone. They also contribute to many other school districts. It's just a great organization and a great group of employees. And I want to echo what Dr. Mitchell said last night when we honored Supervisor Kanabe. He has been so helpful, not just to our school district, to our community, and he's terming out, and we honored him last night. And finally, I want to wish all the families to celebrate Mid-Autumn Festival in our community. It's a time for families to get together for the harvest of the rice. It's the moon festival. And may the round moon bring you a happy family and a successful future. That's it.
Okay, first wanted to welcome Tricia, and then our welcome back was outstanding. I enjoyed listening to Tom Murray. He really touched my heart. He was a great speaker, and all of Dr. Mitchell's words. I went to the Fresh Start Outreach at Jellick, where the Family Resource Center was in charge of passing out things. I met Pastor Mitchell Perez from the home church, who also donated a lot of items. And some students from Roland High School were there helping, and some students from Mount SAC were helping, and they were all from his congregation. And I was talking to him saying, oh, you're such a good role model. And it just so happened he graduated from Roland High School. And he also knew my daughter, who also graduated from Roland High School the same year. So that was very funny. The welcome back classified staff for the morning and PM were excellent. And I attended 9 back-to-school nights. Outstanding leadership by the everybody, principals walking around, the teachers worked hard in their classrooms, the presentations were outstanding, a great turnout with parents, Some schools had students performing. At Nogales High School, several teachers, well, one teacher in particular said, this is the best opening in 14 years at this school. I heard a lot of compliments. And at Giano, I met a lot of classified staff that were translating, which was great. I'm excited and looking forward to walking with Nogales High School's band at the L.A. County Fairgrounds on Friday for Roland Heights Day at the fair. So I've never walked down there. That sounds great. And yes, vote yes on 55. I already put on my button. Thank you. Good job, Shay and Sharon. I want to sign Sharon to put up in my yard. And the 2016-17 school year at Roland is off and doing great. Thank you.
I attend back-to-school night, several schools, Roland Elementary, Jonick, Honeyworth, and Hurley. And I want to share something, I experienced at the back-to-school night. I visited one of the classrooms and talked to the teachers, and I observed the teacher talking to the parents and observe the classrooms, the work from the students and all those. And after the teacher finished talking with the parents, and I started talking to the teachers, asking them how he's doing and how everything. And we had very nice conversation, and after that, then I left. And a few days ago, and I met Dr. Mitchell, and Dr. Mitchell gave me some advice. And Dr. Mitchell says, you visit one of the classroom, and this teacher was very nervous. So I was very surprised at why this teacher got very nervous and did something not proper or something. So then I realized that's a back-to-school night. That's not the open house. And back-to-school night, the time is belong to the teacher. So board members are not supposed to talk too much to the teachers. So if I make any teachers nervous or uncomfortable, I apologize for that. But I really appreciate Dr. Mitchell giving that advice. I learned something. But I will make myself more proper occasion to meet teachers, and in the proper occasions, in the right place, the right time to meet teachers. So not in the wrong time, the wrong place like that. So, yeah. So if I make anyone uncomfortable, then I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Thank you.
Well, it's a big deal to have a school board member come to your classroom.
Yeah.
And they've got all these parents staring at them, and there comes the school board member. I just want to tell you that my heart goes out to Debbie, the little mom that spoke to us tonight who had lost her son. It took all she had to get up here and talk from her heart. But I encourage you to go to her site, stopforaiden.org, and it's AIDEN. And I've been trying to work with her and give her ideas because she really wants to find that niche, and she hasn't quite found how to do it yet. So I've been trying to help her, and if you have any ideas, let me know. I was impressed by these new high school students that were speaking to us tonight. They were all well-spoken. They were easy to understand. They stuck to their script. And I think they all did a nice job. Mr. Harrison isn't here now, but I want to give him kudos. It's nice to hear compliments once in a while. You know, our employees work hard. Our leadership works hard. The board works hard. And people need encouragement to do their best. If they're being called names and if they're being brought down, people need to think of how they're trying to help. Are they helping, or are they really throwing stumbling blocks in our way to do our jobs? We're all doing our best up here. You know, we're lay people. The board, we're all lay people, and we are learning as we go, and we're doing our very best. I feel very proud of the work we've accomplished over the past 3 years that I've been on the board.
And we're getting there. Back to school was fun. Something new to me this year at Hollingworth when I was there is Nogales High School students. They had some of the high school students there telling the parents a little bit about AVID and how it works for them and how much they like it. So it's kind of nice to see we're incorporating them. Saw a really cute picture of the Hurley students going to the county fair today because it's our month for the fair. And last night at the RHCC meeting, at the very end of Supervisor Kanabe's talk, he was able to do something for our students and for our population of Roland Heights. He's going to donate the money to put Wi-Fi into all of Pathfinder Park and Carolyn Rose's Park. And Dr. Mitchell asked me as I was getting ready to speak to Ms. Valenzuela about what he might be able to do before he goes out of office because we don't know who we're going to have in his place. And we talked about two things, but one was putting the Wi-Fi at Roland Heights parks. But they found out that it was like $25,000 a park. So Angie told me a couple weeks ago, she says, we just can't do it. It's just too much money. So I was elated last night when he said he was going to do it for two. And, you know, that's a start. Maybe we'll gradually get more and more. And I'd like to see the district work with Hilda Solis's office to see if we can get something going in the La Puente area too. Buckboard Days Parade, Dave mentioned. It's being planned, and that's it. It's great to be back in school, and I hope we have a great year this year.
Thank you, Ms. Ebbingkamp. I'll keep my comments short. I have provided my comments to our board secretary, so if you want to know everything I've done, you can read the minutes next month. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. Of course, the back-to-school nights have been fantastic, and the welcome backs were really, really nice this year. I enjoyed all of them, and they were just really fabulous. And I do want to give another official welcome back to all of our classified, certificated, and administrative staff who maybe had time for a vacation during the summer. So welcome back to everybody. I want to echo something that Ms. Ebbingkamp said about Mr. Harrison's comments tonight about Nogales High School. I really found his comments to be very, very helpful, because he is someone who actually took the time to actually go out to the schools to talk to people, to volunteer at the school sites and not just make assumptions and run with them. And so for him to come back and give that report on what he actually saw at the site was just reaffirmed everything that those of us sitting here on the dais already knew. So it's really nice that he was somebody in the community who really took the time to do some investigative work and come to a true conclusion of what's going on in our district. And I will be calling him to let him know that as well. And the final thing that I just want to comment on is that when we had all of our gold ribbon schools, we gave out a lot of bumper stickers to the kids for their parents' cars. And I was in the parking lot of the grocery store, and I saw one of the bumper stickers on a car, and I kind of walked back again to see which school site it was from, and it was from Hollingsworth, and the owner of the vehicle happens to come out while I was looking at the bumper sticker, and so we started talking, and I introduced myself to her, told her who I was, and she just went on to rave about Hollingsworth Elementary, and especially about the AVID program. She has two children there, and she was telling me that her son that's in fifth grade is counting down the days until he gets to go to Giano, because that's what he's looking forward to, is going to Giano now. But it was nice to talk to a parent and hear them give feedback on their experience with one of our local schools, and she just couldn't speak highly of it enough. We ended up talking for a little over 10 minutes in the parking lot, and so I really enjoyed that, and that's, again, one of the things that I love about where I live at now on the other side of the community, is because, again, I do walk more and I get to meet a lot more people. And so hearing from these parents and when I'm out and about like that really just solidifies that we're on the right track. So with that, I will adjourn us back to closed session at 9:18 p.m. Thank you.